Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. Tom Meredith, glad to be along with you here on this Saturday morning. We're going to be talking about Hope Cemetery here this morning here in Galesburg, oldest cemetery here in the city of Galesburg. And we're going to talk about cleanup days and some history, lots and lots and lots of history. We could probably go, I'm guessing, for about 3, 4, 5 hours, but we don't have quite that much time here this morning. Our guest, first off, Martin Reichel. Martin is a former past president, secretary, and caretaker of the cemetery. Martin, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Jack Templeton, one of the current, president and caretaker as well?
Yep, myself and Nancy. Yep.
Good morning. Tom. Good morning. And a couple of historians as well. Harry Buckley. Harry, good morning. How are you today?
Fine. Go Cubs.
Yeah. Who? Yeah, they and the Cardinals did very well, or they did the same last night. How about that? And Rex Charrington also, who is a historian, and I know we've talked with Rex about cleanup days in the past. Rex, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Fine. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for being with us. All right. Well, so first off, let's start with cleanup day. We're, just about a little more than a month away, Jack. Let's talk about cleanup days and how people can maybe help out.
Sure. Cleanup day is the 1st of May. It's from 9 to 12. It's just a day where we're going through the cemetery in the morning. We'll be cleaning up all the leaves and help pick up sticks and just general maintenance of the cemetery that we our normal maintenance guy, we're trying to help him out so he doesn't have all that work ahead of him. There's a Facebook page we have. It's called Friends of Hope Cemetery. If you'd like to go to that site or that page, and you can sign up there or contact somebody there. We also have a Gmail account. It's hopecemetery1836@gmail.com. But you'll need to bring your own, basically, whatever you think would be useful, rakes, shovels, anything else that you can bring with you to help, because we won't be providing any tools. We will be providing some lawn bags for yard waste, but other than that, just bring yourself and all your tools. Bring your own, some water, something to drink. Because of COVID, we're not providing anything.
Well, and Martin, I know we've talked with Rex about this before. When it comes to cleanup, especially post-winter, we were talking lots of sticks, branches, and then whatever, trash and things. So a lot of cleanup
in there. Trash blows in there, right. You know, during the wintertime. And yeah, when the guy gets going in the spring, he doesn't want to have to deal with all that before he can start mowing, because then he'll be behind from the very beginning. So, yeah, this is to help him out primarily.
Well, has Hope always been a private cemetery, or is it? Okay.
Been private since the very beginning, 1836.
So, with that being the case, I mean, where did it come along and it was full and there was nobody new being buried there? At what point did that happen? And you know, did somebody have to come along and say, oh, you know, we need to start taking care of this place?
Right. It's been a problem since day one, and there have been multiple attempts to have the city take over the maintenance of the cemetery, and each time they refused, and the most recent one was about 1980 when the cleanup and restoration project was underway, and they took a look at it and said, well, we're going to have to spend $30,000 on gravel and this and that, and we don't want to take on a liability, so once again, the city refused to take it. So it's been privately operated from the very beginning on a shoestring budget. That's been basically the problem.
You know, if you like history, cemeteries are really, especially old cemeteries, are really great places to go. And Harry, I guess this is one of those places, a little capsule history of the city of Galesburg. There you go. Walk through and start looking around.
I once heard of cemeteries described as outdoor museums.
Yes.
And they really are. Now, one thing, there are still people being buried in Hope Cemetery.
Oh, there are. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Okay.
There are some plots available, so it's not nearly what it was, and there aren't nearly as many as there were, but there's still some. But it's the history that's the most interesting thing for wandering around.
And nothing wrong with current monuments, but I'm guessing they're not the same as what was already there.
Boy, there are some great ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rex, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. Just some, you know, incredible history and just some of the monuments, I guess you could even say artwork involved is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. And also, I was going to mention, as early as 1860, it was apparent that Hope Cemetery was not going to be adequate to meet the needs of the city, which is why they went west, and the city bought a lot of the land that's now a Linwood Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
Because Hope was sort of cut off by the Cedar Fork. Limited, you know, Main Street, didn't want to jump Main Street, didn't want to cross Cedar Fork. So
they kind of got landlocked early then.
Yeah, they could see as early as 1860 that this was not going to be adequate. The big boom with the railroad that came in the 1850s. But, yes, getting back to monument art, in fact, I've taken a group through from the Civic Arts Center who just went down. A lot of them did tracings and rubbings and what have you, other artwork, photographs. But, you know, if you go back to the 19th century, you find a lot more sculpted detail, and some of it is iconic or symbolic, such as a shrouded monument that somewhat resembles a catafalque, and the urn, stone urn that, you know, would represent something that would have once held ashes, and the sheaf of grain, another symbol cut off from life, and so forth, and of course all the Christian symbols that are in there, and we even have one or two monuments with some Jewish symbols on them as well.
How many are buried in Hope Cemetery?
What do you think, 13,000? Is that somewhere?
Yeah, near? Anyway, it ranges from 10 to 13,000.
Yeah, it depends on who you're talking to. Kind of like the size of the crowd at the Lincoln Douglas.
Jack, we got a job for you. Count it.
Count them up.
There you go. Is every single grave marked that you're aware of?
Not.
Oh, they're not. Okay, that still makes it even harder.
We even found when we went through this back in the 1980s that there were founders of Galesburg in unmarked graves there.
Wow!
And we included those on the tour map that we came up with. Whenever we could find a founder, we put them on, whether they had a monument or not.
Now, the first, I know we were talking off the air earlier. The first three buried there, was it? I mean, was that at that point? Okay, we need somewhere to bury these before Galesburg. It was actually like incorporated as a city. Is that right? And they on the trip here, they
on
became
the trip
ill.
Here, yeah, there were two different routes. The pioneers came. Some came by the way of the Great Lakes to Chicago, and then purchased wagons and came down. Another group called the Ill-Fated Boat Party used the canal system in Ohio down to the Ohio River, through the Mississippi, up the Illinois River to a place called Copperas Creek Landing in the edge of Peoria County. And that was, they ran into problems with, I believe, typhoid, was that what they
called? Malaria.
Malarial fever, I guess that was what they said. And so some of this people were very ill when they got here. So a hospital wagon train formed of people from Knoxville and ones who were already at Log City out by Lake Story. To go rescue these people, and three died soon upon arrival here.
Wow. So that was, what, 1836?
36.
Okay.
Yeah. So 1 year before Galesburg, they had to decide where they wanted their cemetery.
Okay. Yeah.
So the original map that was laid out before they even came to Galesburg included the cemetery as a little stub out from the western boundary of the city, which was Academy Street. Mm-hmm. So it was already planned for before they even came out here, so they knew where to bury people if they died right away, which they did.
Yeah. And Martin, you got a book in front of you. As do you, Rex. I mean, the different, like, throughout history, what are kind of the contents of that, and who was kind of keeping track?
Yeah, this book was written by one of the genealogical ladies that were taking down tombstone inscriptions and couldn't read them because there was so much brush and so on that it made it impossible, and they were the impetus for getting the major restoration project going to make it more presentable. And she wrote this book about the history of Hope Cemetery and the Abbey and the association that was formed in the 1930s. Prior to that, there were other groups and so on, but it's always been under the guidance of someone connected with the church and so on and so forth from the beginning.
At what point was it named Hope Cemetery? Was that after somebody or just?
Let's see. It was first the old burying ground or the burial ground before they gave it the name Hope Cemetery when they formed that association. I'm not sure on the year 1856, maybe 1860.
There was the Old Cemetery Association, which was from the 1850s,
right?
I think. Prior to that, who knows what they had. Yeah.
And about 1860, I'm thinking, is when they came up with the Hope Cemetery Association then?
That could be, yeah. But it was incorporated in the 1930s as the Hope Cemetery Association.
Yeah, that's our current bylaws.
Under the laws that were prevalent at the time in the state of Illinois.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, interesting. Harry, let's talk about a cemetery, kind of a museum, and it's so historic. What is it, what impression, maybe the first time you went through and kind of started looking around, or what did you maybe learn about Galesburg walking through there the first time?
Well, probably the most interesting thing to me is wandering through is to see all the streets that are buried there.
I never thought of that.
Mr. Dudley, Mr. Ferris, and Mr. Kellogg, the names of many of the streets appear on the tombstones there, which is part of the, and then of course, it starts with the monument to George Washington Gale, kind of in the middle on top of the hill, and his family around him, and then the Ferris family is across the street from them. But then you start wandering, and to me, lots of the smaller stories, and Rex is a great one for these stories, but there are just the stories of families that are there, and families that came out with believing in Reverend Gale's dream of starting a college and a town out here, and that buried a lot of children, had a lot of their family fight in the Civil War. There's a member of the 54th Massachusetts, which was the unit that was memorialized in the movie Glory. There are the monuments to the locally famous people, but there are also the monuments to the small people, the unknown people that are known to us now only through their tombstones in Hope Cemetery.
I don't know about you, Jack, but when somebody told me that you can find, the streets of Galesburg in that cemetery, I walked around, I couldn't find first or fifth anywhere. I couldn't find anybody with those names. I don't know if this is just
Maine.
Me or not.
Mr. Maine lives.
Maybe Mr. Maine.
Mr. Cherry.
Yeah. Rex Charrington, Harry Buckley, Jack Templeton, Martin Reichlin joining us here this morning. This is Galesburg Live. Hope Cemetery Cleanup Day coming up on May 21st. We're talking some history as well. Rex, I'll ask you the same question. First time you kind of went through and impressions, what is there something that really stood out to you?
Well, of course, the founders. I started going over there when I was a student at Knox College. Nice afternoons, a place to take some books and maybe lean up against a monument and hope that a snake didn't crawl up your back. But very enjoyable memories. And, immediately struck with, Reverend Gale, founder of Knox College, Reverend Kellogg, first president of Knox College, many faculty members of Knox and of Lombard. And I think that's what struck me most, how many people associated with our colleges here in town.
Yeah. How about you, Jack? You haven't been around quite as long, but it was, at what point did you kind of find interest in the cemetery?
Well, I was asked to be on the board back in the 90s. I can't remember when that Dick Pearson invited me to be a board member, and I joined in. And I had been interested. My parents, the business actually was right across the street. Templeton Roofing was right across the street from Hope for years, since the 80s. And then, so I had an interest in that level. And of course, being a Knox alum with Rex, and there's just been an interest there all my life. And so I was excited to become asked to be a board member.
Absolutely. Martin, how about you? First, first memories and impressions about that cemetery.
Well, it probably goes back to about 1979, when these ladies were trying to take down the tombstone inscriptions. And they decided something needed to be done to improve the appearance of the cemetery. And so somehow they came to me because I was in the monument business at the time. And my father-in-law had talked to a couple of the committees that were formed to discuss the situation. And so Verla Guy, the lady who wrote this book, asked if I wouldn't serve as a fundraiser for the campaign because it was going to take some money to get the job done. And, of course, I can't hardly say no to anybody, so I said, okay, I'll do that, and ultimately we raised about $5,000 for the cleanup project, and then it turned out that the president of the association was also the sexton, and that was a no-no. The bylaws says you can't only the secretary treasurer can be paid, and this guy was being paid for maintaining the cemetery. And then Jack Hanlon, who was the secretary treasurer, says, well, I'm the city attorney, so I can't, I'll have a conflict of interest. I can't do this. I'm going to resign. So they asked me to be the secretary treasurer. So about 40 years ago, that's when it got started.
Yeah, well, never admit, especially on the air, that you can't say no.
Yeah, somebody's going to look me up now.
There you go. There you go. Well, we're talking about Hope Cemetery here in Galesburg. It's one of the oldest cemetery here. In fact, before Galesburg was incorporated as a city, even 1836 was the year. And we'll talk more about it. I want to get, you mentioned working in the monument industry. I want to get into that a little bit, and monuments and craftsmanship, I guess, too. We'll talk about that. We're going to take a break here for a news update, and we'll come back more. This is Galesburg Live.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Cleanup day, Hope Cemetery. I had the date wrong. I don't know what I'm thinking. I said May 21st. May 1st. If you want to go out the 21st, there might be something to pick up, but May 1st is actual cleanup day. Talking with Martin Reichland, Jack Templeton, Harry Buckley, and Rex Charrington here this morning. And just before the break, Martin, you're talking about the fact that you worked in the monument industry for a while. And one of the things that's so neat in any old cemetery, and especially at Hope, is just looking back. I mean, that's like, I guess most things, that's an industry that's really changed. And you got, you know, the water jet cutters and all that kind of stuff. But my goodness, some of the intricacy and the size of some of those things, it's just really, really amazing. And you talk about craftsmen, that's some pretty amazing stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Back in the old days, everything was done by hand. There was no automated equipment except for air pressure tools, pneumatic tools that could be used. That goes back to the 1800s. But sandblasting and that sort of thing didn't start until after the turn of the century in the teens and 20s. And originally, a lot of the material came from out east, from Vermont and places like that. The granite was often brought over on ships as ballast, and then they used that to make monuments that could be shipped all over the country. The Civil War Memorial is an example. It was all fabricated in Vermont, out of Vermont granite, and a lot of Italian craftsmen and Scotsmen and so on were the people that did the intricate, detailed work and knew how to do it because they learned it in the old country.
One of the things that's kind of alarming is the fact that many of the marble monuments are deteriorating to the point where you can barely read Reverend Gale's monument anymore, the inscription on Reverend Gale's monument. A lot of the ones that were made of marble simply aren't handling 150 years of Illinois winters.
Yeah.
And there's really not much that can be done about it, but it still is startling. And there are some that are already beyond the point of, you can't read them. You don't know who's buried there. And that's a really sad thing to see in an old cemetery.
Yeah. I'm guessing there's probably record of most of them, but yeah, you get to a point where I hope those records are still out there.
Yes, we have records, and what did we decide, Martin? That the current records we have were probably made up about 1906 or thereabouts.
Yeah,
in other words, a lot of it was from memory. The original records do not exist, if there were original records.
Right.
But they went through monuments and people's memories, started putting it together, and it's somewhere around 1906. If you go through the records and you see where the handwriting all becomes the same, and you look at the last entry, it's around 1906, I believe.
Well, I suppose the founding fathers and those that did that kind of stuff, they weren't thinking about marble. And hey, 150 years later or whatever, it's people being able to see it. It's not going to weather well. We care about right now. It's a nice monument to our loved one or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I've always wondered. I presume that once the railroads came through, that you could get granite that you couldn't get before that. But
right.
I don't know if the marble came from around here or not. But
no, it wouldn't have been. From Illinois, certainly, yeah. From Vermont and down in Georgia in that area, there was a lot of marble available.
It was an old traditional stone, but it just isn't designed for longevity like granite is.
Are there any? Go ahead.
I'd like to put in a little plug for the monuments that are not made of stone.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there any like bronze or
white,
what?
It's called white bronze.
Okay.
It's actually zinc. Those are the bluish gray colored ones. And as long as they haven't been impacted by anything that caused them to crack or break, they're very durable. The lettering is wonderful, just as clear as when they were new. And we have quite a few of the white bronze monuments there. In fact, one of the first burials would have been marked by the with a white bronze monument. I'm trying to think. What's the
Mills.
Name? Mills, yeah, Isaac Mills. Isaac Mills.
Yeah.
He has, which obviously that was placed much later. That wouldn't have been there in 1836, probably from more like the 1880s. But we have quite a few of the white bronze there.
You know, we were talking off the air. Harry brought up a good point, how cemeteries are already changing some and are going to keep changing with more people that are being cremated and then having their ashes spread elsewhere and or no monuments or whatever. And Jack, that brings me to something that actually is it coming, or you already have at Hope Cemetery what's it called again? The
Scattering Garden.
Scattering Garden. Talk about that.
Right. So due to several reasons, we started thinking about one mainly be the shoestring budget that Martin was talking about. To maintain the cemetery, we do not have a lot of funds to cover all the cost of maintenance every year, especially when we have trees that have – we've lost several trees over the years. Those have been very expensive to remove. So we started thinking of some alternative ways to raise money to build up our trust. And we're looking into a scattering garden somewhere in the cemetery, so people that are interested in scattering cremains, we have a place for them.
That's a great idea. That really is.
You know, you're
in a historic cemetery.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe somebody who grew up here, spent their life here, whatever, or you know, wanted to come back after.
Right. Yeah. Per Harry's comment, we still have a few plots that we've opened up for sale, but there is no other places to bury people. So this is a way that we can open up a place for cremains to be scattered, and you can be buried in that cemetery.
Very interesting. Hope Cemetery. Again, cleanup day coming up on May 1st. And what great history. Okay, so is it open that it, like, kind of any time of day somebody can kind of take a walk through? Or
yes. You know,
yeah.
We don't lock the gate really anymore. Yeah. But
we tried that once, but there was some minister that used to go in the back end and read his Bible or whatever, and the gates were closed, and he couldn't get out.
Oh.
As I remember, too, when we were locking the gate, we actually had more vandalism because they were cutting the fence in the back and coming in there and thought, well, nobody's going to find us because the gate's locked, and they were having parties and so forth.
Yeah, and there's one thing the vandalism. I don't know why cemeteries in particular that's in. I'm guessing over the years, who knows how many times. That may be more of a, you know, what from 50s up or more recent than that? That's happened at places.
I don't know before 50s and 60s, but there have been problems. I remember even back in the 1960s, some rural cemeteries were heavily vandalized by people driving in them and knocking the stones over with their vehicles. So,
which isn't doing your vehicle any good either, by the way. Not very smart. But, that's one thing I just never have understood.
Good alcohol and poor judgment.
I guess so. But one thing I've never understood that, you know, something historic, especially something as old as some of them, that usually seems like the bigger, older ones is what they go for whatever reason. Never have understood that.
Not enough outhouses around anymore.
I guess, yes, exactly. Yeah. exactly. All right, 8:42, this is Galesburg Live. We're talking about Hope Cemetery here this morning. Martin Reichel, Jack Templeton, Harry Buckley, Rex Cherington joining us here this morning. Oldest cemetery in Galesburg. In fact, it was a cemetery before Galesburg was a city. 1836 was the first year. Talk about, Harry, I know you're being a historian. You've been to a lot of different cemeteries, seen a lot of different monuments and memorials. Talk about anything in particular, like, that kind of stands out at Hope. Is there a particular monument or memorial that just is one that really stands out to you?
There are a few that are very interesting. There's one in the back of the cemetery for the Epsteiners and the O'Briens who intermarried, one of their children intermarried, and the inscription have both Jewish and Catholic, Roman Catholic symbols on them. There's also a monument, one of the prettiest ones in the cemetery is to Robert Bender, who was from, I think he went to Knox College, but he was from the East. And he has a stone that is it's called piercing. It's you can see through it. It's a wonderful, it's hard to describe, but it's the only one in the cemetery. And
if you're familiar with filigree jewelry, where the design is made through piercing through the material. Unusual to see it in stone.
Yeah, and it's
exceptional.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen another one like that. It happens that Mr. Bender's either sister or daughter dated my dad before the war, so he knew the Bender family somewhat.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah,
and they came from big money out east, and so anyway, his stone is interesting. And then one of the very plain stones is the one that belongs to George Williams, who I mentioned was in the 54th Massachusetts. That because of the history involved in that unit, it's very interesting. Plus, the monument to Philip Sidney Post, who received the Congressional Medal of Honor at the Battle of Nashville, is also one that has had an updated stone marking so that you know that he was a recipient of the Medal of Honor. And then it's nice, it's fun to see how the rich people were trying to outdo one another. And as they just seemed to get bigger and bigger and more ornate as their wealth expanded.
As if it matters at that point.
But we remember them now.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. This is Galesburg Live. We'll take a quick break here, come back, talk more Hope Cemetery, more history. This is Galesburg Live. Well, good morning. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith. Thanks for being with us here this morning. We're talking about Hope Cemetery here in Galesburg this morning. Martin Reichel, Jack Templeton, Harry Buckley, Rex Charrington joining us. And before the break, kind of talking about some cool things and memories. Jack, how about you? You've spent some time in the cemetery, obviously. Is there something like maybe historically, maybe that you learned walking through there that maybe you didn't know about Galesburg or some person who was here from Galesburg?
Well, I think all the Civil War soldiers that have been buried in Hope. I didn't realize that there were that many Civil War soldiers that had been buried at Hope over the years back in the 1800s after the war. So that was always interesting. That was an interesting thing I found out. And I've always been fascinated by the mausoleums as well as Hope Abbey that's right in Hope Cemetery. So those have always been an interesting thing to me to see the different mausoleums, especially the Washburn. That's the really ornate one that's in the front.
Yeah. Well, I guess, Harry, and it makes sense as far as the Civil War veterans with this being kind of an abolitionist community that so many participated.
But, you know, you look at the numbers, young men participated from all over the country, and it's astounding to me to see how many thousands of people came out of what we picture as small rural areas, the little town of, not even a town, of Greenbush down towards Avon. Has a huge cemetery with lots of Civil War veterans. Everybody went. I mean, it was, and not everybody, but there were thousands of young men that went from all over the country. And so it was the seminal event of the 19th century, maybe of the country's history. And they went, and you see the government had issued stones, and then you also see the references to the people later on. And, of course, the big Civil War monument in the corner there at Academy in Maine. Robert Lincoln was there for dedicating that monument. And one of the thing about monuments that have, of course, been in discussion lately is the fact that in the 1890s and early 1900s is when all those Civil War veterans had worked their careers and had made their fortunes and wanted to make sure that their – what they did was remembered, and so they started funding those monuments on battlefields and town squares and everywhere else. So, yeah, the contributions to from every town in Illinois they were just amazing how many people went.
You know, Martin, Jack had mentioned the mausoleums. There's what, not counting Hope Abbey, there's five in Hope Cemetery?
Five or maybe six in private mausoleums that are not necessarily walk-in mausoleums, but contain multiple crypts, usually around six crypts in each one of those.
Well, I know Harry had mentioned kind of the affluent. That was kind of part of a way to show affluence. Like, here it is.
Here's a way to. Exactly, because most people couldn't afford something like that. So You could tell there was a lot of money in the community at one time.
One of the interesting things about the Washburn Mausoleum, which is probably the most opulent of the private mausoleums, sort of a blend between a Gothic castle and a Gothic cathedral, there's a crypt in there for their son. And I was trying to find out if he's actually in there. And he was buried in California.
Oh, wow.
Apparently there's a falling out in the family. He didn't care to be in the crypt that was reserved for him.
So with some of these families at Rex, if you can continue a little bit, the affluence here in Galesburg, where was that? Were these families that were affluent that came here, or did they find their wealth here somehow?
Both. I think that, let's take, for example, the Ferris family. The Ferris family was doing quite well in New York.
They reinvented the wheel, by the way.
There you go. We hear about that.
Yes.
So there were people with financial means who came with the founders. And then, of course, after the railroad, we had such an enormous boom. Great increase in wealth along with the population. Businesses flourished. And by the time we're into the 1890s, even though the nation is in a recession, look at all the new churches that were built in Galesburg in the 1890s. The money was still flowing here even when the rest of the country was having difficulty.
And then there were self-made millionaires like George Brown, who invented the corn planter that became the ubiquitous all over the world, and he's buried at Hope Cemetery.
Was that where, like, Brighter Life is now? Is that where
that whole block was the corn planter work?
Okay,
that's right.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. What self-made people, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Again, Hope Cemetery cleanup day is coming up on May 1st. If you'd like to help out, bring your rake, shovels, whatever you think you may need. Probably some gloves. That'd be a good idea, your water.
Yep, exactly. If it's a little chilly, bring a jacket, coat, whatever you need. But as I stated, we won't be providing anything other than receptacles to throw trash or leaves in, and you'll need to bring everything else with you.
What time will you get started?
9 a.m. to 12.
All right, so Saturday, May 1st, 9 a.m. to noon. Clean up at Hope Cemetery if you'd like to help out, and keep I guess really a gem here in Galesburg, kind of help keep it beautiful. Martin, I hadn't asked you about any particular monument, memorial, or anything that's ever just really struck you in particular about Hope Cemetery.
Yeah, the one Harry mentioned, of course, the Bender Monument that has filigree work. That's real unusual and very striking. And it's in good shape, too, as a matter of fact, even though it's made out of marble. There's a lot of obelisk monuments, some of them quite large. I'm thinking of who is the insurance company that
was Lake W. Sanborn.
Lake W. Sanborn. He's probably got the biggest one out there. It's probably 20 feet tall. It's amazing. Yeah. So there's a lot of those things. A lot of unique monuments or just interesting things. Like there's a veteran of the Seminole Indian War has a monument with that information marked on it. So you don't think of that anymore, but we do have one of those.
Yes. There's Revolutionary War veteran buried out there, Ashel Gilbert, who was a trumpeter for the Connecticut Dragoons.
No kidding.
Came out here and died in the 1850s.
So he would have been pretty old then.
I think he was born in 1765 or something. So.
Wow.
He was pretty young when he served in the war.
Yeah. All right, Rex, how about you? Anything, any monument, statue, or anything in particular that's always stood out to you in Hope Cemetery?
Oh, I don't know. The monument, I think we were pretty well covered on the monuments. I was going to mention when we did a railroad tour, for railroad days down there, that in 1888 there was a strike and there was a railroad worker who was killed, Herbert Newell, and he is buried in Hope Cemetery. Now, what we didn't know until digging into it further, the man who shot him and killed him is also in Hope Cemetery, but in an unmarked grave.
Oh, wow.
So we determined that both the victim and the shooter were both buried in Hope Cemetery.
That's interesting. Speaking of the railroad, we're going back like Chauncey Colton or anybody.
Colton, definitely.
He's in there. Okay. Yeah.
Silas Willard.
Okay. Wow.
also one. Just a pretty amazing history, I guess. So on average, say somebody wants to take a walk and really get some history, you might have to go there more than once. You better give yourself a few hours.
I would suggest going more than once.
Really
to enjoy it, make 3 or 4 trips.
And we do have a map. So on the Friends of Hope Cemetery Facebook page, there is a map that you can download. It's a walking tour map, and you can print that out for yourself and then walk through the cemetery at your leisure.
Does it kind of give you, like, maybe some highlights, or is that kind of the way it is?
It's laying out specific historical points in the cemetery as well as a general.
We did that in the 1980s. If we were doing it today, we'd probably have a few more to add, but we went with what we knew at the time.
Yeah. But I guess, if you get to get the real feel, use the map, but also just, go from marker to marker, kind of.
Yeah, but it really does help to have somebody explain what who you're looking at what they did, because a lot of times it's just names and dates until you understand what their contribution was.
And we are planning a tour for Juneteenth.
Oh, good.
June 19th.
Oh, good.
We'll talk
good deal.
About the abolitionist Underground Railroad people.
Anybody playing characters?
Semenya McCord agreed to portray Susan Richardson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we have at least one person who's volunteered to do character.
I know some other people have done some things like that before. I don't know.
We haven't really gotten far enough to know how many we might have. She's done it before. She's very good at it, and she's volunteered.
Well, good. Yeah, so it should be very interesting. And when's that coming up? June 19th?
June 19th.
Okay, very
Juneteenth
good. So,
celebration.
Yep, absolutely. Martin, anything else that you would like to add for people maybe interested in the history of Galesburg and when it comes to Hope Cemetery?
Well, a lot of people in town, amazingly, don't even know it exists. So the first thing is to get them in there, and when they start seeing familiar names, that will spark their interest in doing a little bit more research. And it's a green spot in the middle of Galesburg, that's going to be a green spot forever, and that's a good thing, I think.
Absolutely. Jack, how about you?
Second what Martin's saying, as well as if you're looking for donation, giving money away, if you're interested in donating some money. We sure could use money.
How could somebody do that? Who would they get a hold of?
Again, I would do the Gmail account. Send me a note, Gmail, Hope Cemetery 1836 @gmail.com, or the Friends of Hope. Send me a message there. That's good ways to contact us.
Or any final thoughts about Hope Cemetery?
Yeah, somebody mentioned it. The problem we have are the big trees that were planted in the 19th century that are now starting to die and are posing real hazards. Luckily, we had several trees taken out this last year. John Howard from Riverbend Tree Surgery took a bunch out, and they are they're constituting a hazard now, and that's one of the areas that we're looking at that we need some help in. So
absolutely. Rex, any final thoughts about Hope Cemetery here this morning?
No, I think we pretty well covered it.
All right.
Thank you for inviting us in.
Absolutely. Rex, Harry, Jack, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Martin,
thank you.
Thank you.